Ephesians 3, 1 through 13. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might be now made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's good to be back with you, Geneva. I greet you with the grace and peace of God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, and our Lord, stand before you in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to proclaim that there is one name that is above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen? It is good to be back, and miss you since the last time I was here. I'm going to jump right in to our message. Today I want to talk to you about the mystery of the multi-ethnic church. The mystery of the multi-ethnic church. And I want to begin by sharing a reading about how the black church was birthed from Pastor Eric Mason's book, Woke Church. And it reads like this. A number of us usually attended St. George's Church on 4th Street. And when the colored people began to get numerous in attending the church, they moved us from the seats we usually sat on and placed us around the wall. And on Sabbath morning, we went to church and the sexton stood at the door and told us to go in the gallery. He told us to go and we would see where to sit. We expected to take the seats over the ones we formerly occupied below, not knowing any better. We took those seats. Meeting had begun. And they were nearly done singing. And just as we got to the seats, the elder said, "Let us pray." We had not been long upon our knees before I had heard considerable scuffling and low talking. I raised my head up and saw one of the trustees. Having hold of Reverend Absalom Jones, pulling him up off his knees and saying, "You must get up. You must not kneel here." Mr. Jones replied, "Wait until prayer is over." The trustee said, "No, you must get up now, or I will call for aid and force you away." Mr. Jones said, "Wait until prayer is over." And I said, and I will get up and trouble you no more." With that, he beckoned to one of the other trustees to come and to assist to his assistance. He came and went to William White to pull him up. By this time, prayer was over, and we all went out of the church in one body, and they were no more plagued with us in church. Mason writes, "Richard Allen and Reverend Absalom Jones left and formed the African Methodist Episcopal Church. Blacks didn't seek this as the primary goal. Simply put, the reason that there is a black church is because there were those white Christians who wanted a white church. The separation flowed from the white church's unwillingness to preach and live out a full gospel. And how astounding is it that the black church exists not as an entity that was born out of a willing missiological effort, but out of a heretical theology and practice. Friends, the religion of white supremacy has compromised the character of the Christian religion in America in every generation that our society has existed. It is an idolatry that gives ontological privilege to European humanity. The kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout this nation's history was used then as an instrument and a vehicle to reinforce the existential reality of European or white dominion over the whole world and in our country. This legacy exists still today in more or less subtle and sophisticated ways in our society, our culture, and our church. We in the church have been conformed to the image of this world, rather being transformed by the renewing of our mind and by the washing of the Word of God. Yet the Apostle Paul in today's text declares the message that there is not racial or ethnic privilege in the church of the living God. Which begs the question, were and are white supremacists or any ethnic supremacist congregations churches of the living God at all? Ephesians 3, 1 through 13 teaches that God's church has always been and will always be a multi-ethnic family and society of believers in the finished work of Jesus Christ, which reconciles sinners of every nation back to their Creator. Can the church say amen? Yet today, there are still churches and Christian movements that exclude fellowship implicitly or explicitly to individuals and groups based upon ethnic difference rather than upon rejection of faith in Jesus Christ, which presents the relevant question, what is God's desire for race relations in the church today? Can you be a Christian and a committed racist? In today's text, the Apostle Paul declares to the Ephesian church in the first century and to us in the 21st century, the mystery of the multi-ethnic church. Three realities I would like to lift to you about the diversity, unity, and beauty of a multi-ethnic body of Christ that witnesses to the redemption of Christ and the reconciliation of Christ in a divided America. Number one, we must understand the mystery of the multi-ethnic church. That's in verses 1 through 6, which my sister read so beautifully before I stood. In verse 1 and 2, Paul reveals, Geneva, that he is in jail because of his ministry assignment. He is suffering because of his ministry assignment given to him by God. What is Paul's particular ministry assignment? He is called by God to be a messenger of God's gospel in Jesus Christ to the non-Jewish world. Christianity at its genesis was an inherently Jewish experience, but Paul, at the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the will of God the Father, took the message global and invited all people into the kingdom of God. Paul teaches in verses 3 through 6, the mystery of God in Jesus Christ is to make a people for himself of all the nations of the world, not only of national Israel. This mystery was hidden to the Jews and the rest of the nations until it was made clear by the prophets of the Old Testament and the apostles of the New Testament by the Holy Spirit of God. It is said in our culture that in America, 11 a.m. on Sunday morning is the most segregated hour of the week. That is, that Christians in America are intentionally segregated when they go to worship. If this is true, then like at least two conclusions must be reached, I believe. Either most Christians in America don't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and the implications that it has for how they relate to people who are not like them, and they are victims of a culturally racist gospel being preached to them. Or, secondly, most Christians in America do understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and idolatrously prefer their ethnic identity above the gospel and rebel against the multi-ethnic integration and institutional church in America. Friends, do you understand that the result of a transformed life by the gospel of Jesus Christ is an intentional pursuit of reconciliation and unity with your brothers and sisters in the family of God, which include people from your ethnic group and people outside of your ethnic group. To love God is to rightly love people who are your neighbor, who are like you, who look like you, and people who are not like you and who don't look like you. To be a child of God, Geneva, is to desire authentic and intimate relationship with the Father and his children. Simply put, Christians who believe in segregation are acting like unbelievers or are unbelievers and should be treated as such. They should be called to abandon this demonic idea and put out the church if unwilling to, and treat it like those who are separated from the family of God because they have not authentically confessed faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rather, they have confessed faith in an ethnically prejudiced Jesus, not the Word made flesh. Number two, after we understand the reality of the multi-ethnic church, we must pursue the reality of the multi-ethnic church. That is verses 7 through 11 that our sister read. In verses 7 through 8, Paul teaches that God, by his Spirit's power, enabled Paul to be effective in the ministry of and building of Gentile churches at the preaching of Christ's gospel. In verses 9 through 11, Paul informs the Ephesian church that God not only wanted Paul to understand and pursue the multi-ethnic reality of his church, but he wanted everyone in the church, the world, and in the spiritual, through the church, that God's plan has always been not to make a people for himself solely of national Israel, but rather, from before time began, to make for himself a multi-ethnic church of children through faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In pastoral ministry, it's not enough simply to be a preacher. You must also learn to be a leader and get to get people to work together. And whether it's a monolithically black church or a monolithically white church, if there's any pastors in the house, people are different, no matter what they look like on the inside. And the same, we all know how to disagree. So I've been learning as a leader that people work best with a plan. A vision is one important tool, but my friend Nathaniel Cox says, Rev, you better get a plan to change the culture, because culture eats vision every single day for lunch. And so a vision is an important tool to accomplishing your goal. But a plan to accomplish the vision that God places in your heart is just as important to accomplishing your vision as the vision itself. Well, Paul teaches in these verses, my brothers and my sisters, that God's plan from all eternity, as he has chosen us in Christ, plan to redeem the world in Christ, God's plan from all eternity has been to also create for himself a multi-ethnic family, and the plan in which he devised for it to come into reality is through Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. A gospel that never gets beyond benefiting and privileging one group, your group of people, is no gospel at all. For God calls each of us to share the gospel, and the people that he calls us to share it with may not always be people we are comfortable sharing it with. But we are called, like the Apostle Paul, to share the gospel with people who look like us and who don't look like us. And if they receive it, we are to consider them family. Let the church say family. That is how we are to look at one another in Christ, no matter what culture we come from. And as we do this, when the world sees this multi-ethnic reality called the church living together and loving one another, they will know that we are the family of God. Where else does that happen, really, outside of the church? The church is called to be multi-ethnic as we pursue relationship with people who don't look like us, through the intentional evangelism with those who do not look like us, and loving relationship with others who are different than us in the body of Christ. If we can only preach to people who look like us, there's something wrong. If we only plant churches and communities that are ethnically and socioeconomically the same as us, there's something wrong. And if I can't help someone to be all that Christ has called them to be, if they don't look like me, there is something wrong with our understanding of Christianity. We may be Christian in label, but we are not Christ's followers in the full essence. We must understand the reality of the multi-ethnic church. We must pursue the reality of the multi-ethnic church. And finally, we must endure difficulty for the reality of the multi-ethnic church. It's verses 12 through 13. In these verses, Paul teaches that the privilege that belongs to this multi-ethnic church is to seek God and to trust God, that his glory is being accomplished even when we suffer for building this multi-ethnic reality in Christ. This pursuit caused suffering in Paul's life. But he did not want the Ephesians to be discouraged, did he? But he wanted them to trust that his suffering was for their ultimate salvation and safety before God Almighty in this life and in the world to come. I work at a Christian school, and I'm a pastor of the church. I've got two offices. And in both of those offices, I have pictures of my wife and my sons at my job. I look at it when I'm tired, Geneva. I look at those pictures when I want to give up, because I remember that I'm working hard for their well-being. That's my responsibility as the head of my household, as the priest of my household. I need to suffer, though I do it imperfectly as I confess my sin to the president this morning. I'm to suffer for their growth in Christ, for their well-being in Christ. And when I want to have a pity party, I tell myself, you can't give up because you're doing this for them. You're doing this for their well-being. You're doing this for the glory of God in your family. And that is why we pursue the reality of a multi-ethnic church, even though it will upset some of the people we call brothers and sisters ethnically and in creation, but who have no room in their hearts for the brothers and sisters who look differently than us that we have found in Christ. We pursue the reality of the multi-ethnic church because this means the salvation of many of every nation who are far from God, but who are going to be brought near to God through the saving work of Jesus Christ. Our suffering, our being ridiculed, our being outcast from our ethnic brothers and sisters in order to save those who Christ is calling to be our spiritual brothers and sisters, it gives us the opportunity to be in relationship and in partnership with the Holy Spirit and his work in the world. And it gives our brothers and sisters in Christ a relationship with the highest God to whom they were once enemies. This gospel that we suffer for and must preach, as the hymnologist says, simple, full, and free, is a powerful gospel. It is a transformative gospel. It is a gospel that will recreate the heavens and the earth. This gospel is so powerful that it can change the racist heart to a heart of love for all of God's children. It will do that. It gives us strength and power to work for the salvation of those who Christ is calling to him from every nation, tribe, of tongue, who will be lost in eternal separation to God unless we preach. If we understand the reality of the multi-ethnic church, pursue that reality, and are willing to suffer for that reality, then we can call ourselves Christ followers. Then we become imitators of Jesus Christ, who died that we might live, who unrobed from his privilege in glory and put on human flesh, suffered after he preached the truth of God everywhere that he went, died, yet rose from the dead so that we would no longer be enemies, but friends and family of God. Brothers and sisters, do you believe in this mystery of the multi-ethnic church? Will you do your part to produce the reality of this multi-ethnic church, even in a world that seems to keep pushing us on racial lines and class lines away from one another? Be a part of the mystery, amen? And pursue the will of God. Believe in no other gospel than the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for salvation comes from Christ and from God alone. Amen? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the greatness of your gospel. We thank you that you have redeemed us in Christ Jesus. We thank you that you have called us out of war with you into a loving family relationship with you. You have broken down the walls of hostility, God, in Jesus Christ. And now we are not called to be colorblind. We are not called to make everyone like us, but we are called to be love struck for those who Christ loved so much that he gave his life for. Lord, so we ask that you would teach us how to live for you and how to love like you. Teach us, Lord God, how not to be comfortable in prejudice and in separation. But teach us how, Lord God, not only to build relationship, but to seek for the good of those who are our family in Christ and for those who are to experience your love through us in creation. Help us to realize that Jesus Christ is Lord, that the church belongs to him, and the whole world belongs to him. Help us to submit to Christ's will and rule in the church and in the world. And help us to reflect Christ in how we treat everyone in the church and in the world. This we pray in your strong name, Jesus. You are able. Amen. Thank you.